Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Well, my grandmother and my mother guided my life, and I learnt a lot from my grandmother. When I started the art, it's through my daughter Deanne that I became an artist. What happened, my daughter Deanne was having an exhibition at the Ballarat Art Gallery. Gordon said to her, get someone to go in with you. And Deanne said, oh, what about my mum? So Gordon had a look at my work. I had about 7 little paintings of birds that I'd done for the kids while I was sick. And I said, I can't paint, Deanne. I can't go in that. But anyway, we got it all together and did that. And how I started, I was sick and I couldn't do anything. And I said to my husband, I'm going to go nuts if you don't find me something to do. So he cut me out all these little houses and I painted 5 villages for my grandchildren and for their Thomas the Tank sets. And that's how I started. Then when I got a little bit better, Deanne brought me out a canvas and said, here, Mum, paint on it. And I said, I don't know how to paint on a canvas. So anyway, she gave me a few lessons and I did that. And then I had that exhibition with her. And then Gordon Morrison from the art gallery in Ballarat, I call him my mentor. He's been so wonderful. I don't know, he must have seen something that we didn't see. Then there was the Tunaminawaita Mullabore Heaney exhibition down Melbourne, and that Paola Bella, she got me to paint a commission for that. And it's these people that have helped me, and Kimberly Moulton and Judith Ryan and Tom Mosby. Otherwise, and not just them, it's all the people that have brought my work. I'm just blown away by people liking what I do, because it's from my grandmother, the stories and everything, and I like to paint the stories. I read a lot, and I read, you know, the stories of my people, and we were sort of the forgotten tribe. In the history books, they stated that there was no Wathaurong survivors, and there, if they had a look, there were 3. One was my great-grandfather. That was in the Ballarat area. And he went to Warrnambool and married an Irish governess, and they had 7 children, one being my grandmother, and she was born on the Framlingham Mission. That's what I like to do, read, you know, stories from my grandmother and stories that I find about my people, and I like to paint them because I started, my aim was to put us back on the map, that, you know, they were going from saying there was none of us left to here we are today surviving. And that's how it all started.
Can you explain to our audience a bit about the Wathaurong people and where the country is?
Yeah, our country is Geelong, the Bellarine Peninsula, part of the Otway Forest, up to Mount Misery from Ballarat, Buninyong, Balan, all them little places there, and part of the back of Melton and all that, back of Smarsh, part of that. This side of the river, our side of the river, Ballarat side of the river.
What makes your country so unique for you in your painting? What can people find from that that they'll see a similarity?
It's just such a beautiful place. I did a painting of Lalau Falls and the race meeting at Lalau Falls. I found this story, how they used to go there, you know, catch trains and all that. But Lalau Falls to us is Bunjil's final resting place after he created men and women, animals, language, laws. He went to Lalau Falls and decided he was a man turned into an eagle, and that's Bunjil's final resting place at Lalau Falls. And to have a race meeting there every New Year's Day, and the other side of it is, it's such a sacred place to us because it's Bunjil's final resting place. And, you know, the Lalau Falls, it's such a beautiful place if you ever go there. It's really nice.
It must be very sacred.
One day there, we were there and we saw 7 eagles. Like, it's just so magic, you know? And you can feel the spirits of the ancestors there. It's like when you walk on our country and, you know, if you're in the bush somewhere, It's just magic. It's beautiful.
And can you tell us a little bit about growing up for you? Where did you grow up and how did you start to learn the stories? You talked about your mum and your nana.
Well, my father was in the war and we lived with my grandmother down Warrnambool. And when he came back from the war, we moved to Melbourne. We used to go for lots of walks. There was a swamp. She lived on top of a hill overlooking Old Baldy. That's a big sand hill. And now there's all houses there. How, I don't know, because that was a swamp. She used to take us through this little track and we'd go to this sand dunes, you know, Old Baldy. We had the best fun. But you couldn't swim in the water, the ocean there, because it was all undertows. And she used to show us, you know, patterns in the sand and everything. And then years later, not so, you know, when I started to paint, I realised that they were all our, when I saw the designs on the shields and everything, I realised they were our patterns. She was actually teaching us, you know, our patterns, so it was good. Then another time I went to learn basket weaving, which I'm hopeless at, and we were making a dilly bag. And I said to the lady, I've done this before. And I told her how, you know, to do it. And she said, that's right. I said, my nana taught me how to do this. And, you know, not realising, like being a kid and not realising that I was learning something, she was passing something down to me that I didn't know about, you know. It was amazing. Anyway.
Wow. And that sounds really beautiful. And I can see a lot of your birds, and obviously birds and water are a big thing for you and your people.
Yep.
Can you talk about why?
Where I live, if I sit outside out there, I mean, we have an eagle fly over here all the time. We have three of them. But you can sit there and you can see the most amazing bird life and, you know, just you can sit in the gazebo thing and you can see them all around you. And we had a rare sort of a bird come here. Every summer it comes, the last 3 years it's come, and it's like a kingfisher with it's like a turquoise colour on the front with fawn and white. And I've never seen that bird around here before, and I just love the birds. That's why I like to paint them. That's how I sort of started off. And, you know, the story of Gunawarra, the black swan, you know, at Lake Wendouree, that's Bunjil's sisters. All different birds, some, you know, like different meanings, and Wah the crow, one of our totems. It's I found a few Wah stories, so I painted them. Yeah.
Beautiful. And so your birds do have their own little characters to them. I think something that would be good for our audience to learn about you is about some of the awards that you've achieved and you've won.
I don't actually enter too many things. I won the People's Choice with my Lalal Falls painting for the Indigenous Art Awards. I think it was 2015. And then the Koori Heritage Trust Reconciliation Award. I won that 2 years in a row. And then I didn't go in it again. I thought, well, it's not fair, you know, let someone else have a go. And I actually haven't entered anything else.
NITV Radio, on radio, online and mobile.
Okay, and is there anything else that you want to talk about when you talk, when we talk, think about Because of Her We Can, when you talk about women standing up and, like yourself, you've achieved a lot from something which you never thought you could do, and look where you are now. What's next for you?
What's next? Hell, I don't know. I hope I live long enough to be here next.
What about your paintings?
Yeah, my painting. Well, with my painting, I'm in the Boa exhibition. That's a Biennale of Australian Art. That's in September. Don't ask me when it finishes because I don't know. And I'm in that at the Art Gallery of Ballarat. And then after, next year I have an exhibition at Martin Brown's Contemporary in Sydney. And then, because I was in the Sydney Biennale, which I was blown away. I thought, God, how did I get here? I don't know, all these famous artists and here I am, and I thought, God, what am I doing? You know, but yeah.
Wow. And what about the story that you did around turning it around, where you had the army were the First Nations people, and the blackfellas that came, they came on to invade the land. I remember seeing a story that you painted.
Where the soldier, there was a Eureka one. Well, my grandmother told me. See, there was a camp not far from the Eureka stockade, and when the battle broke out, some of the children and wives ran to the Aboriginal camp, which can all be documented as well, because there was a white man, Yule, I think he's George Yule, I'm not sure, and he was married to one of the Aboriginal, you know, Wathaurong people, and they used to, you know, a lot of the white people used to frequent the camp a lot, and so when the battle broke out, that's where you would run, a safe place. And not only that, when the miners were having hard times, the Aboriginal people would teach them how to catch possums, you know, to feed themselves. Like, they didn't all find gold. And teach them a lot of skills that we had, so they could survive as well, you know.
It sounds like you've got a lot of stories.
Hey?
You've got a lot of stories there, a lot of knowledge.
I've got a lot of stories. I just hope I have time to paint all these stories, you know. I still have a lot of stories. A little while, I just did one that Barry gave me, a story, and it was sort of like a freedom fight. I can't remember his name. I've got it wrote down somewhere. And I just painted that because he actually killed a native, you know, because he killed a white man, and he was trying to protect the white man. So, and then but he was locked up for months and months and months, and then they decided that my people camped out the front. They had a lock-up in the middle of nowhere, 2 or 3 kilometres from the beach. This is at Herne Hill, up near Geelong. And they all camped out the front, and then they decided that they'd have to take him to Melbourne to stand trial. When he was on the ship going to Melbourne, one of the soldiers unbuckled his shackles and everything, and he jumped overboard and swam to shore. And they thought, they didn't know whether he drowned or whether, you know, he lived. But somebody did see him months later, so he survived. And I thought that was a good story. You've got to read the whole story to know what it's all about, you know.
Well, thank you so much for joining NITV Radio. I hope you have a great NAIDOC week, and it's lovely to hear more about you and your story, and hopefully you'll inspire some other people out there and other women.
Yeah, I hope so. Who would have thought that at my age that I would become an artist? I didn't even know I could paint. And to be recognised and, you know, people like my work and buy my work, that's all you need. You know, if you have a dream, my dream was when I had to go to work when I was 14 because my father had a car accident. We all had to be fed. There was my older brother lived with my Aboriginal grandmother in Warrnambool. My sister lived with my Danish grandmother in Melbourne. And there was all us six at home. And I was the oldest out of the six of them. And, you know, I don't think there was no pensions or anything in them days. So my mum went to work and I had to go to work so we could afford to live, you know. And what happened? When I was at school, I won an art award when I was 11 years old. And I always, me and my friend, and my friend and I, we thought, when we leave school, we're going to go to art school. My friend went to art school, but I had to go to work. And that's what I mean. This is sort of like my dream. I'm living in my dream. I always say that. This is something I'd always wanted to do, but didn't think I ever could. You know, so if you have a dream, you go for it. You know, just try. Everyone can, you know, make their dream happen if they want to.
This was an NITV Radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV Radio or download the SBS Radio app.